It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The calendar flipped to April a week ago, but March Madness continues to linger. It's time to check in with our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorchak, whose video blog is Sportsnet. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Paul. You've reached the official home of Sportsnet.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Sometime in the next day or two, Robert Morris, athletic director Craig Coleman, is supposed to address charges of physical confrontations between players and coaches under former Colonials men's basketball coach Mike Rice, who was fired by Rutgers last week for physically and verbally abusing his players. Apparently, there have been allegations that when Rice coached at Robert Morris, there were coaches versus players brawls in practice. What do you know about this?
It's a very disturbing story, and I don't know. I'm waiting for the details from Robert Morris as much as anybody else, but things like behavior like Mike Rice displayed on that video don't happen overnight. I mean, let's be honest, if this wasn't happening to Robert Morris, I'd be shocked in some way, shape, or form. And it's certainly not the only program out there that's clouded by some of these issues.
It's been 3 years since Mike Rice coached at Robert Morris, and these allegations are now just coming out. And it's not a complete surprise, because they're coming on the heels of these revelations of what he did at Rutgers and the release of this video of things that he actually did back in November, for which he was suspended but not fired. Then when the video went viral and ESPN ran with it, now we're seeing Rice getting forced out, as well as the athletic director and others. But does it seem strange to you, Bob? You're a sports writer. You're used to being among a group of guys who stick their noses into things and investigate things, that this could have happened to Robert Morris years ago and nobody was talking about it?
It's part of the dark underbelly of sports programs, Paul. They're very closed societies. What happens in a locker room stays in a locker room. That's always been the mentality. That's the unspoken rule. And don't forget, if you're a college basketball player, you signed a letter of intent and you're getting a scholarship. If you speak out, the fear of speaking out against some of these tyrant coaches and tyrant programs is that you lose your scholarships. You're basically held captive in your situation. I will say, not every college coach or every coach anywhere is a tyrant. I understand that, but there are some rogue programs where this kind of stuff goes on, and I don't think it's all that unusual.
Now, there are Robert Morris players who are defending Coach Rice and saying that they saw none of what is being alleged when they were on the basketball team at the university. So was there any hint of it? Was anybody talking about this years ago? And could it be that maybe this wasn't going on the way it was at Rutgers?
Yeah, my sense is it wasn't going on to the extent that happened at Rutgers, what was captured on the video. And there might be, there are players who might give a different side of an issue. But again, I think that, first of all, it's never appropriate. When is it appropriate for a coach to berate or abuse a player? Never. I mean, this is like a working relationship, almost a parent-son relationship. And if that's abused, it's horrible. But it's possible that it didn't happen to the extent, or happened at in various secret corners rather than in full view. But I'm eagerly awaiting the revelations of the Robert Morris AD.
We're talking with Bob Dvorchak, our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus. His video blog is Sportsnet. Now, Bob, you talked a little bit about the appropriate or inappropriateness of this behavior with this particular coach, Mike Rice, and certainly it is an example of some of what we've seen other coaches do over the years. There seems to be a gray area here. Some coaches are known for being tough on players, and some people feel that that's a good thing. So when exactly does a coach cross the line, and is there an agreed-upon established criteria for that, say at the NCAA Division I level, for example?
Well, there are rules in place, but you're absolutely right. You call it a gray area or things fall through the cracks. You know, go back in history. Frank Kush, when he coached at Arizona State, was got into trouble because he grabbed a player's face mask in practice. Bear Bryant, when he was at Texas A&M, the Junction Boys, they made a movie out of that. But, you know, basically that's physical and verbal abuse.
Well, Lou Holtz, there's a famous video of Lou Holtz, the former Notre Dame coach, grabbing a Notre Dame player by the face mask and pulling him around in a way that people found disturbing, and Lou Holtz was taken to task for that. But he kept his job. He's now a high-paid sports commentator. So there doesn't seem to be any, at least for the football coaches, any particular penalties.
Well, right. And you know, these are all examples. But then again, you know, there you come up against the line. Do you cross the line? Does it become so egregious that you can't tolerate it? And I think anybody who sees the Mike Rice video would say that's an intolerable situation. What happens in these other places, you may not see it on video. It may just be verbal testimony. It may be just some player coming forth. And believe me, the last thing these guys want to do is come forward and say, yeah, I was abused by my coach, because who's going to believe them? I mean, where have we seen this before?
Well, and to your point, we have a tweet from Chris who asks, do colleges ever interview the former players of prospective coaches? So, for example, if say Mike Rice was having his job interview at Rutgers, would it have been part of any kind of procedure that's in place for him, or maybe for another coach elsewhere being interviewed, to contact the former players? In Mike Rice's case, could Rutgers, as part of their hiring or screening process, have called players at Robert Morris and said, so we've heard this guy can be abusive. What have your experiences been with him?
You know, I think that's a great idea, but then again, are you going to have somebody really come be forthright and say what happened? Yeah, it's sort of like references on a job, isn't it? Any job interview. For example, hey, if this guy was an English professor and he was throwing books at students, how long do you think that would be tolerated? You know, it doesn't happen, but then again, sports is its own little world, its own universe, its own cocoon. Things that go on in there, and you say, well, yeah, you want to discipline these guys. You have to be hard with them. You want to get the best out of them. So we're really going to ride them. And some of that is very positive, and when it crosses the line, it becomes very, very negative.
So before we move on to another topic, what is the lesson here for other coaches after this week, this tumultuous week involving Mike Rice, which hasn't quite ended yet, depending on what revelations come out of what Robert Morris talks about this week?
Well, I would hope that somewhere, and if it's the NCAA, if it's a conference, whoever it is say, look, something happened here. Now, we don't want this to ever happen again. If you see something, here's a way to report it. You know, you can call this hotline, or you can report it to a counselor or an advisor and get this out in the open, because the last thing you want to do with a case of abuse is to cover it up or bury it. I mean, that only gets worse and worse and worse.
We're talking with Bob Dvorak, sports writer emeritus of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. His video blog is Sportsnet. We have seen some defections of prominent Pitt athletes lately, Bob, including 7-foot basketball center Stephen Adams, the young man out of New Zealand. Also, Russell Schell, who was supposed to be the starting running back for the Panthers football team this year. Are these departures at all related, or is it just coincidence that we're seeing some big-name athletes leaving Pitt at the same time?
Well, what you see at Pitt is a microcosm of what's happening in college athletics all across the country. Players transferring, players leaving for the pros, a basketball coach who gets fired because she didn't win enough. All of these things are, and I'm not singling out Pitt because I don't think they're any worse or any better than any other program, but it just, they got hit by a series of events.
Now you're talking about, I'm sorry to jump in, but the reference, I want to clarify your reference to the coach that got fired. You're talking about the women's basketball coach
Agnes
at Pitt.
Farinato, yes.
And she was fired, and why was she had been there for 10 years. So what reason did they give?
She didn't win a Big East game. She was 0-32 in the Big East. It's a production business. If you don't win, you don't stay on. That's the code. That's the way the business operates. And let's face it, Paul. This is a business now. Sports generates more money for a university than any other source now, right? It's become a business separate and apart. They play by almost different rules. If you're the top money maker, you want to keep the money coming in. You might tend to look the other way at a couple of things. And I don't think it's very healthy for the money to be dictating policy. But in the case of the basketball player Adams, he said he wanted to stay, and then he has family issues, and he can make money going to the NBA. Well, you know, this is America. It's a land of opportunity. If you can make money, go ahead and do it. In Russell Schell's case, I think there was a totally different circumstance where maybe his personal life was a little bit sticky, and he just wanted to get away from it. But, transferring to another school isn't all that easy either. Once you give your word to Pitt, you commit to Pitt, well, that's a bond that's a little tough to break, and he may not be able to play for some of the schools that he thought he could go to.
And he apparently Pitt is blocking his ability to transfer to Arizona, where former Pitt coach Todd Graham is
Arizona State
or Arizona State. I beg your pardon. Explain what's going on there.
Yeah, with fraud, Graham. I mean, don't forget, there's a guy who coached at Pitt for a year and then took the money and ran.
This is the coach who.
Where's the loyalty in any of this? But. Yeah, there are stipulations where, look, if you want to leave, that's fine. But we don't want you to play for a former coach of ours who, left us in a lurch out of town. We don't want you to play for a competing school. We don't want you to have to face you on the field down the road. So if you want to go, that's fine. But you're going to have to pay your own way. I mean, it's just Pitt protecting itself, I think, in this case.
Do you think that that's a fair thing for Pitt to do?
It's the system, Paul. I didn't invent it, but that's the way it works. Any other school would operate the same way. If you want to get released from your scholarship, there are stipulations. Don't forget, Joe Flacco was at Pitt. He had to pay a whole year on his own money to go to Delaware, but he did it because he wasn't going to play.
I'm guessing that with his new contract, whatever outstanding student loans he has, he'll be all right, able to take care of those.
Flacco will not be on his back, that's for sure.
No, not at all. All right, on to some happier things. Pittsburgh, it's a real feather in the city's cap that it is attracting more and more of these national championships. This week, for example, we'll see on Thursday and Saturday at the Consol Energy Center the NCAA Frozen Four coming to Pittsburgh. It's college hockey's version of the Final Four. And then next year, the U.S. Gymnastics Championships will be happening at the Consol Center as well. What is it about Pittsburgh these days that is attracting these kinds of marquee events?
Brand new state-of-the-art facility. If it weren't for the Consol Energy Center, none of this would be happening. And I know people say, well, we don't want to spend money to build these things for athletics. Look at the business this city's bringing in. You got programs from all over the country now, four college programs. Their fans are going to come here, go to the games, and spend money. What's the downside to that? I mean, you got to put the welcome mat out. That's great. But it would not be happening unless that arena had been built.
And the Frozen Four is interesting. It doesn't get the attention that the Final Four in basketball gets. College hockey is more of a regionalized sport. Nevertheless, this is a city that's pretty hockey crazy. So tell us about what the allure of this event is and some of the teams that are coming to participate.
Well, actually, in college hockey is gaining in popularity. Ratings are up, attendance is up, so it's sort of like a coming thing. And you're right, it's a regional thing. You're not going to be playing hockey in New Orleans, I don't think. But, for the Frozen Four, you've got four teams none of which has ever won this championship before. So you're going to see a first here in Pittsburgh, that one team will win a championship for the first time. And, you know, some interesting things, you know, with Yale, for example, Yale University. Now, here's a school that's produced five U.S. presidents, 17 Nobel laureates, 18 Supreme Court justices, 30 Pulitzer Prize winners, including David McCulloch, and they've never won a hockey championship, and they've been playing since 1893. Where is this school's priority, I ask you?
So we've got Yale, and who are the other three teams that have also never won a championship?
Well, in the number one team, Quinnipiac, which is 8 miles from Yale, and they'll be facing each other across the blue lines. And they're the school that's known more for its political polling, and yet they've been leading in the polls in the college hockey. So then you have Massachusetts Lowell and their program, and St. Cloud State in Minnesota. St. Cloud State, that's where Herb Brooks coached there for a year, and they've got 22 alums playing in the NHL, including Ryan Malone of Upper St. Clair. So there's some pretty solid hockey programs there, Paul. And I would say this, there's no one standout team. And the beauty of this tournament is I think these teams are so evenly matched that it's who wants it more. You might see some really, really good games up there.
Well, the semifinals are on Thursday, starting, I believe, at 4 in the afternoon. And they'll go into the evening or as long as it takes. They play overtimes in those games, so it could go on potentially all night. And then the championship game is on Saturday night. Before I let you go, Bob, we have the NCAA title game tonight, Louisville and Michigan. Do you have a prediction for us?
Well, you know what? Yeah, Louisville women are doing. I mean, it's Louisville's year, it looks like to me. And I guess I'll go with Louisville. Because Rick Pitino, who makes only $5.7 million a year, can get a $450,000 bonus by winning. So, you know, that's what he's supposed to do anyway. But it's another indication of how priorities are out of whack. I'll go with Louisville, just on a lark.
All right, so Louisville is, and we'll hold you to that and find out how you do next week. And as you mentioned, the women are playing for the Women's National Championship, the Louisville women, tomorrow night. So it's an interesting week for the Cardinals. Bob Dvorak is sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. His video blog is Sportsnet. Bob, as always, it's been a pleasure visiting with you. Thank you so much.
Well, and if you see Bulldogs, Huskies, River Hawks, and Bobcats around town, don't be alarmed. There's nothing wrong with the zoo. It's just a hockey tournament.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, how long should a person be held accountable for his or her past when children are involved? Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thank you for listening.